Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be this summer, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in. Do want to let you know that throughout the summer, we will be worshiping in person at 9 a.m. So instead of having our traditional two services at 8 and 10, we'll have one service at 9 a.m. If the weather is nice, we'll be out in the garden. We love being outside for worship in the summer. If weather is inclement, we'll meet in the meeting house, as is our tradition as well. So when you are in the area, we hope that you'll join us for worship. Now I invite you to prepare your heart and mind for the word that will be offered as we listen together to our morning's anthem.
Oh,
So this morning we're looking at the story of the conversion of the Pharisee Saul to the Christian evangelist Paul, a story you're probably well familiar with in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way," and that was the way that that first Christian movement was referred to. It was referred to as the way. It was a new or different way of being Jewish. "But anyone who belonged to the way, whether they be men or women, that Saul might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Now, as Saul was going along approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just ask that this ancient story of conversion might have contemporary application for us. And for that to happen, Lord, your Spirit needs to intercede. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know a fair bit about Saul who would become Paul. Most of the New Testament, if you think about it, is either written about Paul, by Paul, or by one of Paul's students. So we know that he was an extremely well-educated young Pharisee. That meant a leader of the Jewish faith in his community. We know that he was actively persecuting early Christians by literally dragging them from their homes, binding them, and taking them to prison. We know that in the previous chapter that Saul approved of the killing of Stephen. We also know that Saul had an encounter with Jesus Christ while on his way to Damascus that radically changed his life. So one day, Saul is this arch enemy of Jesus Christ and his followers, and then in a flash, quite literally a flash, the next day, he was a passionate advocate for the Christian cause. Now, we know this because the story is told 3 separate times in the book of Acts, and then Paul attests to these encounters in his own letters. In his letter to the Christians in Corinth, Paul wrote famously, "I handed on to you as of first importance," that means of most importance, "what I in turn received, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and then he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, Jesus appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, I've been trying to think of creative ways to express the radical nature of this course correction in Saul's life. And I realize that there's probably a split here between Yankees fans and Red Sox fans and Mets fans. But imagine for a moment that you are a diehard Yankees fan, a real diehard fan. And then imagine going to Boston. It's a beautiful summer evening. The city is ablaze with light and life. A friend invites you to take in a game at Fenway Park, and you're so awed by the history. You're so awed by the magnificence of that old stadium that in a flash, you realize you want to be a Red Sox fan. But not just any old Red Sox fan. You go to one of the kiosks and buy one of those $250 authentic jerseys and that you swear you're going to wear to your dying day. But not only that, you buy out all the Red Sox caps and the bumper stickers and the pennant banners, everything you can afford, and you head back to New York with a mission. You're going to convert all your friends and family and every stranger you pass on the street into a Red Sox fan. I mean, for those of you that claim to be Yankees fans, can you imagine that? Or maybe more to the point, imagine leaving church one gorgeous summer Sunday. The brilliant summer sky, the warmth, the flowers, everything just is gorgeous. And for some reason, the beauty of the day gets you thinking deeply about the beauty of faith. And suddenly, you decide it's time to learn more about Islam. In fact, by the time you reach your home, you have decided to become a committed follower of the Prophet Muhammad. A week later, you are founding the first mosque in New Canaan. A month after that, you're promoting Islamic cultural centers all over Fairfield County. A year later, you're pursuing grand designs of bringing your new faith to every corner of the United States. Now, you expect you might encounter resistance, but you are fully committed to your mission. Becoming a proselyzing a Yankees fan or converting to a new faith on your drive home at some point in time, that is kind of approaching the kind of course correction that took place in the life of Saul. I mean, it was a wildly unlikely scenario, and yet it really happened. So what do we take from this remarkable story? And the first thing I think the conversion of Saul, first thing to take away is that this is just about as close as we can get to actual proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of eternal life. Something undeniably miraculous happened on the road to Damascus. A man's life was radically and unalterably changed. We know that from the testimony of Acts, and because Paul said it so himself in his personal correspondence, that this actually happened. He was a different guy. You know, Saul and those who were with him clearly attested to the fact that somehow, nearly 10 years after Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus appeared on a lonely road to Damascus, and everything began to change. From that moment on, Paul believed that when our lives are yoked to the life of Jesus, our lives become eternal. In fact, Paul took issue with Christians that doubted the resurrection. He said, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Paul had witnessed it. I think one of the most important takeaways from the story is that according to Paul, the resurrection and eternal life are real. I mean, we may struggle to understand or embrace them all, but Paul experienced it, and we know that that experience radically changed the trajectory of his life, which I think gets to another important point we need to glean from this text, and it's this. Change can happen. Change can happen. In fact, change can happen in the lives of people we believe can't or won't ever budge. I mean, I wonder how many of those first Christians, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Mary Magdalene, I wonder how many of them saw men like Saul and said to themselves, you know, he'll never change. He'll never change. Saul was set in his ways. He had made up his mind about the followers of Jesus. He was on a mission, and no one was going to get in his way. People believed Saul would never change. Now, I guarantee people said that about Saul. I mean, have you ever said that about someone? They'll never change. Your ex will never change. Your spouse will never change. Your parents will never change. Your in-laws will never change. Your teenager will never change. Your colleague or boss will never change. If this text is true, and I really believe it is, then we utter that phrase far too often. Now, what follows from that reality is some truly wonderful news. If an encounter with Jesus can change a man like Saul, if that's the kind of change that happens, and if it's real, then that means that our course can be corrected too. And honestly, many of us, and I'll raise my hand to this one too, we need a little course correction. You know, and if Saul can change, that means we can too. It means that we can be freed to walk away from the mistakes of our past. It means we can be forgiven for our failures and move beyond bad decisions. It means we can leave behind addictions and abuses and personal arrogance that has damaged relationships. You know, this is more than a Yankees fan becoming a Red Sox fan or a Democrat becoming a Republican or a Christian becoming a Muslim. You know, the very real story of Saul becoming the man we know as Paul reveals that each of us can be made new. Each of us can experience transformation. That change we secretly long for, that course correction in our lives can happen. And apparently it can happen on an instant. You're walking down a road, sitting, listening to a podcast, even when we're engaging in destructive businesses or behavior, through the grace of Jesus Christ, we can be changed. And I believe that change is real. I've seen it happen. But I'd still love to know what exactly happened on that road to Damascus. Who or what did a religious fanatic like Saul need to encounter to cause such a course correction? You know, there's a little old parable that may shed some light on this experience. Apparently, there were two battleships. Okay, this is a story, a parable. It's not real. There were two battleships on maneuvers at sea. The weather was bad. So the nightfall, the captain of one of the ships remained on the bridge to keep watch through all the fog. And suddenly, there was a light seen through the darkness, and a report was called out, light bearing on the starboard bow. So it was clear the other boat was on a direct collision course. The captain said to the signalman, signal that ship, we're on a collision course, advise you change course 20 degrees. Signal came back, advise you change your course 20 degrees. Indignant, the captain shouted to the signalman, send again, I am the captain, change your course 20 degrees. Signal was returned quickly. I'm a second-class seaman, sir. You had better change your course 20 degrees. Now, furious, the captain grabbed the radio and bellowed, this is the captain. I order you to change course. The signal was returned immediately. Sir, this is the lighthouse. Advise you change course. You know, Saul's experience on the road to Damascus, I think, was probably like that of the captain. Saul was confident and unmovable in his desire to persecute the church, and in a flash, he learned he was headed in the wrong direction. And he spent the rest of his life proclaiming to everyone who would listen, there is a lighthouse. That lighthouse is Jesus Christ. Advise you change course. You know, that lighthouse, that relationship, and the opportunity for that kind of course correction is what our faith is all about. Resurrection is real. And change can really happen. And that is really, really good news. Let's pray. Lord, we don't wake up in the morning perhaps thinking about having our lives completely changed, even if we long for it. And when we do long for it, we sometimes doubt that it's possible for ourselves or for others. And yet, the Bible tells us time and time again that you can enter into people's lives and enter the life of the world in revelatory ways that change people and change circumstances. So change in our lives, Lord God, what needs to be adjusted for our sake and for the sake of others. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, church family, go out and enjoy another summer day, another summer week, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.